to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
Who am I? I'm Naomi.
And I'm Macy.
And this is our podcast about disturbing things. We're two anxious counselors, and this is our therapy.
Did you say that whole thing backwards? That was odd.
It's because our images are mirrored on the video, and it's tripping me out, so everything's opposite day.
Yes. Welcome.
Dive in. L'chaim.
Woo! So, check-ins. I was trying to like rack my brain about what even happened this week. It's been a really long week for me. I feel very work focused.
Yeah, I've just been getting ready for my son's high school graduation tomorrow. Go Asher. He's graduating high school and college, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool.
No, so we're gonna have a little backyard hullabaloo tomorrow.
Hullabaloo.
Where do these words come from? So I have to write a speech. All the parents get to do a 1-minute speech. He goes to a very small school.
Oh. So I'll say, wow. And that's brave to give the parents the floor.
I know. When my older son graduated from the same school, I did kind of like a joke speech. It was all like cliches, like follow your dreams, reach for the stars. It was like just a joke. But I think this one I'll actually, because, you know, it's the last kid, the baby. I won't have any more, you know, kids in school, so I think I'll probably get a little emotional. So I'm gonna probably keep it really short, so I don't get emotional.
Are you gonna cry?
I probably would if I talk too long, so I'm probably just gonna keep it real short and sweet.
Well, that's nice. That's really nice. I don't I don't think anything planned this weekend, but oh, I do have something that's changed. I have now freed my Sundays. For the first time in three to 4 years now, I've been seeing clients on Sunday where I only have one day off a week, and I start this weekend, and I'm really excited.
Sunday is my day. I try to protect and
leave it open
for whatever, you know.
I'm so excited.
And not because it's the Sabbath, because I'm Jewish and Saturday is the Sabbath, but it's just the world we live in, you know, most people have Sunday off, so.
Well, and that was, I mean, because I've had, like, chunks of time, but what happens is everyone still calls you, everyone still emails you, you end up feeling obligated to work anyways, the times become flexible, and you put people there anyway, and so it's, on the weekends, people don't call you, people don't email you, people want to be left alone on their weekends, too, so I'm excited for the, like, just don't reach out to me. I want to not exist for 2 days in the world.
That sounds great.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Do it. Don't exist. Disappear. Off the grid.
Yeah.
Woo, woo.
I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to sleep in on a day.
Do what you want.
I'm going
to. I don't get to really. Only on Mondays if it's not a work day because the Stella queen.
Yeah, that's, you know, you basically have a baby yourself.
She got up this morning at 6:30, which is early for her.
So. I feel like the fun aunt, like I just get to show up and she's like, Macy!
Macy, Macy!
Knuckles, Knuckles! that's my enjoyment of her. She's very fun. I entice her to do bad things and like dance.
That's the fun aunt job.
I know, like just wreak havoc, who cares?
Wreak the havoc.
We have conversations. She talks in baby talk, and then I just act like I know exactly what she's saying, and her eyes get so big because we're having a conversation at that point.
That's so cute.
It's adorable. That's all I have. Sundays. I'll let you know how this Sunday goes.
Okay. Well, I'm getting a kayak.
I want to go kayak.
You get a kayak. Paul's getting a kayak. I mean, we could do a kayak partay. I have a deadline to get a kayak by the end of June.
Can't you get one sooner?
I set
You're making
that
it
deadline
sound really...
for myself.
Oh, okay.
End of June. Well, I'm trying to get this patio project in, and then kayak is next.
Okay. Well, I will see if I can work on a kayak. I think it's actually me.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Damn it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready. For this? Get them papers ready to flip.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about factory farming of animals.
Oh, sounds really terrible.
It is really, I would say, like, honestly, this for me goes up to the same level as the fire building episode.
The station house fire.
Yes, because I still remember in a very traumatic way in my when I went to, you know, I went to Whitworth.
The station nightclub.
Yes, and I was like this young, I want to help the world kind of person. And so I watched some PETA videos. I watched one like where they like were just, I mean, they were abusing the animals, let alone the like horrible situations animals were in. But I just, I still remember like being like scarred from that. I was vegan for 2 years after watching those videos, gave in to a large order of Arby's cheese sticks. On the way to my dad's house, I ate them all.
I was vegetarian for a long time, vegan for a short period in college. Cheese is my downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I fucking love cheese. It holds the world together.
And other things.
And I think if I had my own dairy cow in the backyard and just...
Call her Daisy.
Just, you know, made my own cheese, I don't think the cow would really mind.
No.
I don't think it would be cruelty to the cow.
No. No, I agree.
But PETA would say, you know, that cow needs to be free, roaming the countryside.
But that's not necessarily true. A lot of what, and I'll go over that today. Like, there's five freedoms that are kind of talked about for an animal, and I agree with them. It doesn't mean that they don't have to be eaten. Okay, and I am stepping aside from PETA a little bit. Because PETA is on the far extreme side of that, for
sure. You know my feelings about PETA and Sugar Bunny.
I know.
Traumatized my Asher.
I know. But there, I think that there's a way that, I mean, you don't have to be a vegan to...
Also, I like leather shoes. I said it.
The problem is most marketing, most consumerism uses this big platform of factory farming with kind of a blind eye to all the problems behind it. I think that there could be better ways of going about it.
You know what I've always really thought? That if you're going to eat meat, you should hunt your own meat and like be a part of the experience and the process.
Or even just have to.
So you're not so separated. So yeah. It's not, you know, a styrofoam tray thing in the store that doesn't even look like an animal.
One of the things that I saw.
Be closer to the source is what I mean.
Yeah, I think that's good. One thing that I saw was, like, even if you, if every slaughterhouse in the world had a glass wall, people probably wouldn't eat that meat anymore. Like, if they saw how it, like, if I watched the process in some of these places, I would just say, no, I'm not going to eat that. Like, right. That's very clear. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think we should be more connected to the source.
But if you knew how it happened from start to finish, where they lived a humane life, I'm not saying, like, even, like, cows should be just running free. I mean, maybe ideally. But, like, at least a humane.
Could they handle it?
A free life?
But is it our place to judge? What
I would say no.
A fulfilling cow life would look like.
And I think, again, like when we get into this, I agree with the five freedoms.
I can't wait to hear this.
I know. All right.
You know, I used to be a Greenpeace activist, hardcore, when I was a little kid.
I didn't know.
Hardcore. I went on every march. I was like.
I had the PETA stickers and I spread them around Whitworth.
I was all green, all in with the Greenpeace. I can't wait to hear about this.
Okay. So that's kind of my history. I actually did not want to do this topic because of my experience in the past.
Are you talking about chickens without beaks?
I mean, I have to touch on some of it. I'm not going to go into huge detail. Like, if you want to go see the horrific videos, they're on PETA's website. They're also all over YouTube. I have similar ones with, like, circus animal. Like, there's – you can go and watch the trauma if you want to. But I didn't for this research. I just actually wanted to know more about the industry and what's done and why that's a problem in a variety of different ways. That was kind of my goal today.
Okay.
Less just horror show, like.
I think this really falls into deeply disturbing things.
It does.
So good job.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. So
And I'll lighten it up after this with my topic.
I'm excited. That's good. So everything from like hamburgers, cheese, eggs, all of that comes, I mean, pretty popular items. Most of it comes from factory farming, which they're called really livestock is the way that a lot of the factory farmers will call the animals as livestock. So it's an intensive agricultural design to maximize profits using as few of resources as possible. So it's not just how they're treated, it is this consumerism aspect of we're going to try to do as much as we can with as little money possible. So that's, I think, a big part of this is very confined spaces, very little money for upkeep, for good food, all of those different things, and with large amounts of animals. So factory farming is an increasingly common way to raise animals for food, and even for like fur, that's still a thing. Animals aren't given any like real freedoms or liberties at all. They have a lot of body mutilations that happen, tight, overcrowded confinements. They live, many live their entire lives completely indoors and never go outside ever. Some will stay in a cage where they never even get to turn around.
Yeah, that's the
same. Ever, their whole life. And
then
I think,
you have Kobe Beef living it up. Daily massages, drinking Japanese beer.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. The green fields of Japan.
So this inhumane treatment that happens, it's really inhumane in a lot of ways. Like, again, if anybody saw this, they wouldn't be okay with it. A lot of factories are asked to do better practices, and they may say that, but there's very little regulation coming in and actually monitoring, so I think that's another problem. But often, like, baby cows will be separated from mothers as infants, and the moms just sit and cry for days, but that, you know, that doesn't matter to them. Castrating males without anesthetics,
rubber bands.
Yeah, rubber band in it. Or never once allowing animals to experience outdoors, like I mentioned. Okay, so the de-geeking. Yes, it is the next thing.
I've never watched the video because I don't want to see it.
Look at the picture.
No!
I don't like
chicken anyway. Chicken is gross to me anyway.
Just look at it. Just look at this one picture.
I don't even know what I'm looking at.
It's like a dog nail clipper. They put their beak into it and then... Yeah. So chicken beaks are really a vital part of their physiology. It's not meant to come off, in case you're curious.
It's not an accessory.
What do we know psychologically about stressed animals? Even stressed people. When we're really stressed, what happens?
A lot of stress chemicals.
And then what happens?
In your body.
Okay, now put a bunch of people in a confined space together. What happens?
They're going to be pooping and peeing on themselves.
Okay, what else? What else do stressed people do?
Well, you can't think well.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to just be in fight flight mode, or you're going to just shut down.
Okay, so the first word there, fight, too. So,
how do you fight without a beak?
So part of this is when people and animals are stressed, we tend to, like, fight or hurt each other to relieve our own anxiety.
Yes.
It does. There's actually like, it helps release cortisol in that. Yes. Thank you, Father, for getting to the fight spot. Yes. So it releases that cortisol in the brain. It's some sort of like tension moment that's being relieved. So they actually clip the beaks to have them not be able to peck each other to death and kill each other. So they try to do that to reduce damage versus actually like making it where they're not so stressed and confined.
Mm.
They just try to get rid of the quote unquote problem. So, and boredom too. Boredom becomes a big thing with pecking and that sort of thing.
Are you going to be speaking about kosher at all?
Not in depth, but we can talk about it.
Okay, I'm not an expert, but
I can
throw in a few tidbits.
Yeah, you probably know more than me.
I can sprinkle it in.
So oftentimes chickens will even can even kill each other when they're overly stressed. So that's part of the reason why they clip their beaks.
They're protecting the meat.
Mm-hmm. Which would just be like someone cutting off your hand. Like it's, I mean, it's not meant to be cut off.
No. Then no. I'd start biting and then, oh, they'd pull my teeth out.
They'd pull,
oh, muzzle. I'd be muzzled.
You'd be muzzled.
And shackled because then I'd start kicking.
Yeah, you'd be the one in the cage where you can't move at all.
Yeah, that's when yeah, they like, be you. Cinch you down so you can't headbutt.
Yeah, exactly.
Muzzled, feet, hands. Because mm-hmm. I'm not going down easy.
So sometimes to eliminate damaging pecking and cannibalism, many companies instead cut off part of the chicken's, they'll cut off like 15 beaks at one time. So they have like this machine that they like line the chickens up to and they put their, so they just like do it in mass quantities. With chickens or those kept in non-intensive farming conditions, they do not become cannibalistic or need their beaks trimmed. So that's like the comparison of like if they're in a healthy environment, even moderately so, that does, it's not a problem that chickens have. Like,
they're not naturally pecking cannibal, each other.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and then we have, and I'll make you look at this picture too. This is a piglet.
Oh,
getting,
it's a pig.
It's
baby.
A little pig baby getting its tail docked.
So sad. I was just watching Peppa the Pig with Stella. Now it's like, all I see is Peppa.
Getting his tail clipped. So they do this because apparently, like the bottom of the tail, again, when pigs are stressed, they'll bite at each other's tails. And so they dock it to prevent the biting and possible infection of damage caused by each other.
Oh.
But it's just, again, like you're putting a Band-Aid on a much bigger problem.
And you're taking away part of these animals' bodies.
Yeah. Oh. So it's designed to remove the tuft, the tail part. It's also designed to cause pain on the pig's tail so that they are more actively avoid being bitten. So they'll, like, avoid, like, skirt their butt away from another pig that's trying to, like, get their tail.
Which, I would too.
Yeah.
Owie tail.
Don't touch. In cows, tail docking is performed to make milking easier and more comfortable for the workers. The dairy, because you know how they swat the workers with their tails like they would a fly?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's okay.
I'm from the city.
The dairy industry reports benefits for cows in terms of improved hygiene. But there's a lot of studies that just say, like, that's not, doesn't really matter.
Okay. So it's unnecessary.
Yeah, it's actually prohibited in several European countries to do that. But North America hasn't banned the practice. So animal confinement. This is one of the ones that, like, just seeing an animal in a cage that's, like, that's how they've lived their entire life. Like, I'm not even, like, that against, like, raising something and having it become a meal later. But it's just the, like, their life is literally miserable. Like, what kind of life is that to even live in the in-between? Awful.
It's disturbing, for sure.
So, the most intensive confinement system for cows is called a tie stall. It's used for dairy cows. Each cow spends all her time tied into a single stall, followed by a loose stall in which cows are allowed to roam around in a small shed. They live their whole lives indoors. So they get their little spot to shuffle around, and they go right back into milk again, but they never get to go outside.
Isn't that the way it is with veal, too? Like, yeah. They're not supposed to move around because the meat will be more soft and tender if they don't have muscle development.
Yes, if they don't
have
muscle mass, yeah. Mm-hmm. One study found that confinement of any sort, when compared with raising cows in a pasture, had negative effects in the cow's welfare in general. Many chickens raised for meat, known as broiler chickens, are kept in what are called battery cages with roughly the same amount of space as a piece of lined paper. So here's a piece of paper. This is the space that they live in width-wise.
It's no life.
So female pigs used for breeding are held in gestation crates so that they cannot turn around for the whole duration of their lives. So it's just constant breeding babies. And then we have genetic manipulations that happen. So this is often to try to get that store looking food, that like perfect chicken breast. They'll often make, like, put in so many chemicals into the chicken to make that chicken breast so
the big chicken large. Boobies.
But what happens is when you get those really big things, like, some of these chickens can't even walk because their bodies are so out of proportion.
I don't even like chicken breasts. If I'm gonna eat chicken, it's the boneless, skinless thighs all day.
Ew, you're that person?
I'm a dark
person. I mean, I like the breast. I do. But oh, it's... Yeah. Who orders chicken thighs?
That's all. If I don't like chicken, but if I'm going to cook chicken, I get the boneless, skinless thighs every time.
Wow.
I think they're more flavorful.
Tastes more like chicken. Less like chemicals, perhaps.
I don't know. It just seems moister.
Moister.
Moist.
Gross. So, yes. It can also lead to worsening conditions for animals. Cows are often grown without horns, which enables more cows to be packed into a smaller area. So this may increase farm outputs. It also is bad for animal welfare again. Genetic modifications also carry risk for humans and our health. Over time, acquiring such desired traits in farmed animals can lead to individuals becoming nearly genetically identical, which augments their risk for CAFOs.
Because there's not enough genetic variants.
Yeah, the pandemic risk goes up higher, which we literally just got out of a pandemic.
Still in it a little bit, not quite out of
it. That's true. Still, we are still in it. But this is like how this stuff starts, is like genetically we have reduced variation and it creates a risk.
That's why mutts are the smartest dogs.
Yeah. Under normal circumstances, individual genetic variations act as speed bumps for viral transmission. So when you don't get that variation, it makes virus transmission much faster, much quicker.
So I only buy, like, cage-free eggs.
Oh, I'm going to talk about that.
But then I heard
before
that...
Before you get too excited.
It's not what you think of it.
It isn't. I'm going to...
It's not what I'm imagining, like, chickens frolicking
leaping
in a grassy field with, like, flowers and rainbows.
I'm going to talk about the labels on food here in a bit, because I think that is important, because it's there's a lot of things that mean not much. And it's good as consumers to know what those things are.
No,
so you're not, because then they use it as a price point.
Because
I
really love eggs a lot. So.
They'll raise the price and make you feel like it's something special, like, oh, the money goes to the chickens. It doesn't.
Yeah, the most expensive eggs are the ones that you buy and they're like brown and still have a little poo butt on them.
It's
Why
true.
Is that?
Because.
Are you going to speak to that?
I feel like you should speak to
that. I don't know why I have to pay more for less work going into the final product. Can't you just scrub those damn eggs?
Well, if you think about it this way, though, they're getting a lot of product from very few chicken, or sorry, from a lot of chickens in a very small space with very little high quality food. So they can pump out those nice shiny white eggs from these poor, grotesque, dying chickens, and all day long they can produce those. Where someone who brings it, you know, from their backyard, from the chicken, that's much, like, you get far less eggs.
Did you hear about that guy recently that said his chicken laid a golden egg, but then they found that he had actually shoved that golden egg up the chicken's
hole? Oh my gosh. Of course. See, like, what is wrong with people?
And then pretended the chicken laid the golden egg. Violated chicken.
Who does that?
People. I blame social media, as usual.
If you could have a chicken yourself and have your own eggs. So,
I don't have my glasses on.
I was going to say, can you stop squinting at the chat? The whole reason we started doing only Facebook group only, if you want to listen to our live cast, please join our Facebook page.
Group. Secret group.
That she manages.
No, I just feel like I can zoom in enough. I can
with your face, yes.
Yeah. A face zoom.
Okay, so there's a lot of reasons this still happens. Obviously, it's for money. Okay, so these beliefs are often cultural and at times can be attributed to a lack of understanding in what actually happens behind the scene, and then this kind of concept of like what pain do animals actually feel, that comes up a lot of like with consciousness, and do they actually feel pain like we do, or are we personifying an animal? I don't think so. I've seen animals hurt.
They're sensei beings for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and like even if they don't have the same level of consciousness of like problem solving, or I don't know, like this type of thinking, doesn't mean they can't feel pain. That's the most basic part of our brain, the amygdala, right? Like it's been there the longest.
I step on my cat's tail, there's pain happening. I have to go apologize. I have to go say, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that is the basic part of the brain that was developed first. Pain. It's there for a reason.
That's okay. My best cat pain impression. Do you like that?
Yes. Okay. So why is it bad? Number one, animal welfare. Bad for them, obviously. Here's the five freedoms I talked about.
Yes, I want to hear these.
Okay, so these aren't actually from PETA, just so you know. These are from, this is an animal welfare philosophy. I actually saw it on ASPCA as well. Had these listed.
I used to get little stickers from them.
Yeah, so.
I belong to everything. I was going to be a vet.
Me
I was
too.
All in with the animals. I was World Wildlife Federation. I was ASPA, CA. I was.
Yes. Yeah, PCA. PCA, yeah.
I was Greenpeace. I was everything.
I know this, like, really, I'm like, I can't eat meat anymore. It's so bad. Okay, so five freedoms. Number one, and so you tell me at the end if you think this means that, like, we can't ever have animals farmed for food,
okay.
Even if it's done healthily, because I didn't get that from this, but okay. So number one, freedom from thirst, hunger, and malnutrition.
That just means taking care of your damn animal, which you should do.
Yeah, anyway. Which if a dog was treated like, I mean, we wouldn't allow it. So why would, I don't know.
And to tie in the Judaism bit.
As we do.
We like to sprinkle in the Jewiness. You always are supposed to feed your animals before yourself. Like that's a thing.
I have to do that because Boo Bear will not, he'll just glare at me.
Yeah.
Like, woman.
Yeah, so that's, you know, your responsibility to take care of your animals first. So you wouldn't have your animals hungry and you're feeding your face.
Yeah. For that one, do you think that means that you can't still have an animal bred for food?
I think you can meet that for sure, and it'll give you a happier animal.
And probably better quality food,
yeah,
too.
Like, I mean, isn't that the whole thing behind the Kobe beef?
I mean, yes, yeah.
Is that, you know, they're skipping and doing backflips out in their green pasture and drinking their beer and they're relaxed, you know, they get their massages. And so, like,
yeah, it's
a happier animal is going to give better meat.
That's my principle for counselors in my agency is if they're
happy
they're going to have.
Will give better meat.
We'll get better counseling. It's the same. Wow. See? Okay, no, number two. Freedom from discomfort and exposure. So this would be things like, you know, not having, because I know this, like with horses, you're required to, sorry, Naomi's zooming in.
Zooming my face in to see the comments.
You're like way behind, so you should just let it pass.
A comment about beaks.
I know. Cut off your cat's beak. What's the context, I believe.
My cats don't have beaks, do they?
So freedom from discomfort and exposure, the way that I view this is like, okay, when I had a horse, one of the requirements is that they have some sort of shelter to go into. Like they're not going to be out in elements sitting in 100 degree sun or in freezing degree temperatures.
Right.
And so say if they're also wounded, your response, like you could get in trouble if you don't take them to the vet or have a vet come out and look at them. Like they should be tended to if there is some sort of illness or ailment, that sort of thing. That's how I do
it. This is probably a good time to sprinkle in some kosher stuff.
Go for it. Whenever you find relevant.
If the meat is injured, it's not kosher. So you don't eat roadkill, you don't.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
So if there's any injury to the meat, damage to the meat, it's not kosher. So it's you can't have kosher meat that's not well taken care of.
Yeah. Okay, so I still think you can do that while raising an animal for meat. I think you can meet that demand.
You shouldn't be having animals if you can't meet that demand, in my opinion.
But many do.
I know, and it's sad, and it breaks my heart.
So number three, freedom from pain, injury, and disease. Again, same thing. You should be able to get medical care for your animal if you are an owner of it.
Or you shouldn't have them.
Yeah. Number four, freedom from fear and distress. So that's like not abusing your animal. Like if that guy...
But this is here where I think it's starting to get into that area where people may not consider it because you may not think the animals experience that. And that they're just for our use.
But I don't think it's that they don't experience it. It's that you don't care that they experience it. Like, it's that.
Right, because they're here to serve us.
You know, a dog that's been beaten and you raise your hand and they, like, duck away. That's fear. That's the brain. That's the amygdala doing a response. Like, it obviously is
stuff
there.
Just makes me so upset.
It's sad. So, I would say, like, within the person's control. Like, I mean, if a coyote comes in and scares the animals, I don't think that's in anyone's control. But, you know, it shouldn't be the owner going and terrorizing the animal.
No, and you can set up conditions.
Exactly. Like, if you
that they'll be safe.
Yeah, if I had a horse that was going around and, like, biting and damaging another horse, you put up a separator, they're not allowed to be together anymore. Like, you take steps to mediate it.
You're separated. Go to your corner, horse.
And the last one is freedom to express normal animal behavior.
Oh.
Like, how can you disagree with that? I can't disagree with
that. Oh, you gotta be able to have your horsey energy.
Yeah, like, be able to, like, let a mama pig and a baby pig bond. Like let them nuzzle each other. I don't know, like, let the baby cow hang out with mom after they give birth. You know, I don't know. It seems logical.
If we didn't have stores and stuff to go and buy meat, and, you know,
you had to go to the butcher.
Well, yeah. Or if I had the kind of lifestyle where I kept my, raised my own animals and then ate them later, I don't see that as a problem.
But that's a big thing, though, is it's all about convenience. Like, people will just look the other way because it's more convenient to do so.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, I think, in general with our society. Like, with social media, we've talked about that, like, the convenience factor all the time and just doing what feels normal.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what, it's a styrofoam tray or plastic wrap. It's like, it's so far removed.
Yeah, it's just
the source.
It's dinner already.
I think that as long as we can stay connected to the source and we're okay with that as an individual.
Yeah, we had turkeys for a while.
Do you?
And like we ate at least one of those turkeys. But it was like, you know, they lived a good life. Like, it's nice to be able to say, like, they lived a good life and, you know, thank you so much for letting me eat you now.
What I don't like is the hypocrites, though, where you just get so militant and adamant, but then you're, you know, like, so focused on what other people are doing that you're not being a completely enlightened human yourself in a lot of other areas.
Well, like, this is
focus
a good,
on you.
It's
you
good,
do you.
It's a good place for Tikoi from summer camp, which is take care of yourself. Just do some Tikoi, take care of yourself. But I think that, like, I think advocating is separate. Like, advocating to, if I talk to you, it's not really my place to tell you that what you're doing is wrong. But there are forums, there's legislation, there's different ways that you can go and advocate. If you're my friend, I can talk to you about it and just see if you're open to that info. And if you're not, oh well. And that's it. Like, you don't need to push your stuff on other people in general, really, with anything.
Well, I've known a lot of militant vegans.
I've known a few,
who
too.
Who are not strict vegans. And then it was like, well, you're just a hypocrite.
I've seen that, too, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard, but, like, you don't, it's almost like, yeah, like, you don't get to make other people feel bad and then pick and choose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, be militant and then just leave other people alone.
Yeah. Just do your thing.
Yeah. Whatever.
Do you
want to
be a fake cheater vegan? do it.
Be a fake
but
cheater.
But don't get down on other people because they can't live without cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's me.
I mean, ultimately, like, it's not my place to decide what other people do, and it's I don't want them to decide for me either. So,
if I could fit my own dairy cow in the backyard, I would do that and just grow my own cheese. But you see the size of my backyard. I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, you barely grow up plants, so.
I'm trying so hard. You saw the dead plants in my counseling office.
Yeah, professor. If you listened to our podcast a few weeks ago, Naomi bragged about her plants on the wall that she was using a ladder to water. They're not doing so hot.
They're completely dead and done. They're done. They're not
revivable. Oh, a ladder, an extra step to taking care of the plants that you're bad at taking care of anyways. It's okay. Get a cow. See what happens.
I bought some succulents. So I'm going to swap them out with some succulents and see if that goes a little better.
They tolerate things much better.
I'm hoping they will tolerate a harsh lifestyle.
Make sure their substrate is good. Do you have a rocky substrate?
I have rocks in the bottom, then some soil.
Okay. We'll talk later. Environmental impacts. So it's not just about animal welfare. There's also to the environment. So animals require water, medications, climate controls. They rely on fossil fuel energy sources and shelter. But food is one of the biggest resources. So they have to use lots of land to plant crops such as corn and soy to feed the animals. In the Amazon rainforest, crops for animal feeds are among the primary drivers for deforestation.
Mm.
I didn't actually know that.
And aren't cow farts actually ruining our atmosphere?
The methane?
Yeah.
Gases, yeah. So there's also pollution from the factories in general, contaminating the air, land, water around there. There was a Food and Water report that a single hog produces around 1.5 tons of manure every year. And all the hog farms in the U.S. produce a total of 167 million pounds of waste, which is equivalent to half the human population's waste.
Wow, I didn't realize pigs shit so much.
Right? And hog waste is really dangerous because it's not treated before it's released into the environment, and it can contaminate the groundwater. So there's a lot of groundwater contamination from that. All right, human health issues. So these farms tend to show up in low income rural areas with a lot of minority communities because they tend to complain less than the white upper class people. So they put these farms in these areas that are, it's again like the socioeconomic struggle that happens with putting these bad
shit runs downstream.
Yeah, these.
That's so fucked up.
Pig shit farms next to these people's communities. The environmental pollution from these farms then drive businesses into lower income communities, or it drives them out of those low income communities. And they put up less of a fight about it. Because let me correct that. Not just less of a fight. They don't have as much money to do anything about it, which is
not enough power.
Yeah, exactly.
Not enough voice.
Which can cause things like bacterial contamination in meat, such as salmonella, E. coli, all of those. And that comes at, like, it'll be, like, once every 6 months you hear about some outbreak.
Yeah, throw at that Costco romaine lettuce or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That tortured romaine lettuce. I hate the argument when people are like, well, we don't, you know, talk about vegetable quality of life, like, and killing a vegetable.
No, we don't, because we have to eat something.
I mean,
I can't just suck rocks.
Go suck rocks. It's the new best insult. Go suck rocks.
I'm mostly plant-based diet, but you know, I live with two adult boys who are meat eaters. Like,
who don't know how to make mac and cheese themselves.
I have to like cook something that they're gonna eat. You know, I mean, if I could just make tofu for them, and they would just go out and buy other food. But
yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
I think I do mostly plant-based. I mean, I would love to be more connected with the source of my food. I would love to go actually hunt it. Mm-hmm. And if I could handle that, I would feel like, okay, I deserve to eat this meat because I can handle that emotional experience of like taking that animal.
Have you ever hunted before?
But I've never hunted before.
I have to say, maybe
I fished.
I fished too. There's still a photo of my dad and me when he went hunting with me as a small child, and I'm posing in the picture holding up the dead deer head.
My God.
As a good dad's daughter would.
Hold up deer heads.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with like having the, like when my mom contacted like a local source farmer and like we split a pig and she had half the pig, I had the other half. And I'd rather do that.
Yeah.
The food's better. It tastes better. The quality is better.
I could live without red meat. I could live without chicken.
It's not red meat, but
I were listing. I do like fish. I like fish. I'm also okay with fishing my own fish.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to skip the step between and then eating it.
I just don't want
someone else
tortured.
To do that in between part.
I don't want the animal like tortured before I eat it. That's all I care about, like that part.
No, I wanted to live
for their whole life.
All chickens should live like Kobe cows. There should be Kobe chickens.
Well, and so the last health problem for humans, or one of them, is the antibiotic resistance that we kind of talked about. So it's a looming health threat. Animals are often given antibiotics throughout their lives to prevent illness. And honestly, when I was reading this, it made me think about like when we have like soldiers in Iraq and they're giving them constant like pain medicine, opiates to deal with the pain so they can just keep doing their job, and they come back with all these addiction problems and it's like in their system. Yeah. Same thing, like we just keep alive so we can then have this product to then kill you. So they're given very liberally. There's very few laws about antibiotics with animals. It can create superbugs. Everyone has heard this by now with all of the disease talks. Trace amounts of the bacteria may be eaten directly by consumers of factory farm products, causing severe and sometimes incurable illnesses. The United Nations estimates antibiotic resistance could kill 10 million people and force 24 million people into extreme poverty by 2050. 24 million people. We're pausing as Naomi takes
a mom moment. Babysitting update. Doesn't sound good.
Does she listen to the podcast? No? Grandma's not trustworthy.
Grandma is attempting to change a poopy diaper, so we'll see how this goes. Asher texted me and was like, can you come change a diaper? And he's like, never mind, Grandma's going to attempt it. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know when the last time she changed a poopy diaper is. Hopefully it goes well.
The world may never know.
Well, I'll know when I go back downstairs with the poo flung everywhere.
Okay. So antibiotic resistance could kill 10 million people and force 24 million people into poverty by 2050. This is according to the United Nations.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That's bad.
That's not good. Okay. So rural communities, again, there's a lot of bad impact to them with small farms. But just to kind of talk about that a little bit more, okay.
Are you going to talk at all about capybaras?
I'm not.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no.
Because they are giant guinea pigs to me.
Your love of life.
And I don't think they should be eaten on, rotisseries.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, again, I chose not to go into, because it all made me so sad and I didn't want to. So farms though, U.S. farms, a lot of people argue, well, like you're attacking farmers, like we need to keep people in business. Okay, but these aren't farmers. These aren't local farmers who are doing this. Our actual number of local farms in the U.S. decreased by 50% between 1960 and 2002. so half gone, while the total number of farmed animals continues to go up. So as of 2020, there are roughly 1.6 billion animals confined within 25,000 factory farms across the U.S. Roughly 99% of animals in the U.S. are raised on factory farms. And a single broiler chicken factory farm can produce about 500,000 birds every year.
So actually attacking these factory farms is going to help the smaller farmer.
Yes, because it gives them, one, more competition in the market. Having them have a monopoly of 99% in the market isn't okay. They're taking up land, they're taking up resources that the local farmers need to be able to have their produce. And to be able, because that local farmer, like you said, has to charge a lot to equal out how much they pay out.
I have a limit to how much I'll pay for eggs.
But if you imagine, though, like if you had more local farmers, that cost would go down.
There's some eggs that are like $6 a dozen at the store. I won't go that high. I'll go into the threes, but that's it.
If resources weren't so expensive because these big conglomerates are making millions of dollars off of people, then they could do it at a lower price. So it is a luxury at this point to have an animal that's not tortured.
And it shouldn't be that way.
No. Okay, so with how animals are killed, that part.
Yeah.
Do you know how they're killed?
Do I want to know how they're killed?
So there's the Federal Humane Slaughter Act was enacted to try to have animals at least be unconscious before they are killed.
Well, how do they do that? Knock them in the side of the head?
Well, so like different methods. So these regulations, first of all, aren't like really enforced by the USDA. There's nobody that goes out and actually makes sure that it's done. There just isn't. So these audits don't really take place, which is unfortunate.
How do they kill them? I'm curious.
So at the best of times, a trip to the slaughterhouse can mean more than a painless death. Some chickens are forced to endure a live shackle slaughter. This is where their legs are jammed into metal clamps. They're hung upside down. Many have broken legs by this point. They're just kind of tossed around. I mean, I've seen videos of this behind the scenes stuff in these factories, and they do. They just, like, I mean, they treat it like an inanimate object. They don't treat them like animals. They put them in these shackles upside down. And then they are kind of conveyor belted. A lot of these places are very machine oriented to get the most out as possible. Carries the chickens over to this water bath so that dips their head under the water to electrocute them. That's supposed to knock them unconscious. Then when they go and get their neck slit and bleed out, that's kind of the goal, is that they're unconscious. However, many chickens aren't unconscious by that point. Like, the shock didn't work and they're still alive, and they still get their, again, conveyor belt system. They go and get their neck slit, and their bodies are then thrown into scalding hot water to defeather them. So that's pretty horrific. And that's probably one of the single greatest causes of animal suffering in slaughterhouses. Like, chickens get honestly really abused.
Is it because they don't have fur?
I mean, maybe.
They're looked down on as a lesser being.
Well, and again, a lot of these chickens, like, can't even walk because they're so, like,
breasty.
Pumped full of, like, genetic modifications and antibiotics that they're not. I mean, they become almost non-living things, and they're treated like
that.
That's
so sad.
Cows are killed using a stun gun, which is essentially a gun. Here, they have it lined up on the cow in that picture. And it shoots a metal rod in and then back out of their brain. So goal being, again, to kill them instantly. Pigs tend to be electrocuted through an apparatus that's kind of put on their temples, and they're electrocuted. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's how it happens. I mean, and I think that, like, the death is going to be gruesome at some point. So to me, like, I'm less focused on how they die, again, as long as it's the leading up to point for me.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way to not make killing a not killing.
I think with kosher, you split the throat, and the idea is that it bleeds out clean.
Mm-hmm.
So there wouldn't be no, like, swinging it around by shackles or tasing ahead of time.
Yeah. So what is the solution? I think it's a kind of a mixed bag of answers depending on who you talk to. That's really what I found. And there's a lot of downsides for factory farming. The practice is perpetuated by there's a lot of nations and corporations that back these places, so it's really hard to take them down because there's a lot of money in it.
Mm-hmm.
A food system without factory farms, which would be far more equitable and just, far less damaging to people and animals and the environment, is really long overdue. But unfortunately, we haven't had a pandemic for that yet. So we haven't learned our lesson. That's my topic.
Is it only pandemics that teach us lessons?
And only for like a 2-year period. And then everyone's,
we have a very short memory.
Everyone's mind blank slates and they go back to doing the same stupid shit they were doing
before. Exactly.
I'm ready for your light topic.
I think people need to just be intentional about what they eat.
Oh, how did I miss the labels?
Labels?
Keep looking up your stuff. I said I was going to talk about the food thing, like the food labels, which I totally was. Okay, so you mentioned the cage-free.
Yes.
Yeah, the cage-free chickens. Often what that means is that they aren't in those little, like, paper size things, so they may have, like, a little area that they can go to.
So they can turn around.
And often it's, like, almost like with the cows, where they have like a little space that they can go to in a group and then they go back in that sort of environment. Most of the time, still not actually outdoors. They're still indoors the whole time, still in a mass group of them. They're just not in a single cage, so they can use that verbiage.
So it's still not that image that I have.
It's not the image at all.
Chickens frolicking outside a green pasture with sunshine.
It's just it's probably something they already have. Like, okay, the chickens are herded in this big group anyways. Great, they're not in a cage. Slap that on there, get an extra dollar a buck for your case of eggs. The other one is like
buck, $5 for like a...
The what is it? The non-hormone chicken and pork, I believe. Those two are actually like FDA will not allow that anyway. So when you see that sticker on it of like no blah 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 antibiotics, that's actually not allowed anyway. So all of the food products don't have it. It's just like
it'd be
sticker.
Like we're like listen to our podcast. We don't murder people.
We don't.
Well.
Great.
Nobody murders people on a podcast.
No.
That we know of.
Are you going to start a trend? So it doesn't actually mean anything. All of them don't do that. And it's just a sticker to lure you to purchase it. What are some other ones that you can think of, the labels?
Well, I'm always skeptical about organic because you don't really know what that means.
One that actually means nothing. When it says natural or organic, that's when you get
natural means nothing.
Yeah, you get in the debate of what does that mean? Oh, no antibiotics, which you can't do anyways.
I mean, anything could be natural.
Yeah, they live, it's a natural chicken.
It's natural that we develop chemicals because our brains have that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, it's something that isn't actually regulated, so it means absolutely nothing. It's just a statement, it's marketing. So they know what they know what consumers don't like, and they know what the catchphrases are, and then they market it. So I would actually be more, like, I would look at it as, like, they're selling me something here. And at least question it and look it up before you just go.
I love it when I get, like, an egg hookup by somebody in town where they're like, oh, I just have too many eggs.
Sachi was sharing that Stephanie has chickens and she gets
eggs. Do you want some eggs? Like, I've had those over the years at work, but they never, like, last forever.
Well, it's because chickens die.
And I'll you know, it's usually like, bring your carton, $3, and I'll fill it up. And I'm like, awesome,
good.
I'll wash the poo off. I don't even care.
I loved having fresh eggs. Like, it is, like, different.
They taste way better.
They taste better. They look different. Like, it's just more better.
And I love me some eggs.
sometimes I'll have eggs and like they just like I'll eat them and then I feel like nauseous after like store bought eggs. I know. But who knows why? It could be that they are, I don't know what they put in the chickens to make things the way they are.
Yeah, chicken is gross. It is. I don't know what the solution is. I need to learn how to fish better.
That's the solution, is learn how to fish.
I'm a pretty good fisher. I just never really have an opportunity to go. Mm-hmm. I don't have a boat, you know. I have a lot of barriers.
Yeah.
I fish from the dock. It's limiting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's all. Go for it.
You have no idea what I'm going to talk about right now.
I have no idea.
Okay. I'm going to talk about one of the most disturbing children's films of all time. Pinocchio.
I'm so excited.
Have you seen Pinocchio? Please tell me you've seen Pinocchio. Yes. The Disney Pinocchio.
And I know that I'll regret saying this later, but I loved that show as a child. I loved watching Pinocchio.
Do you remember like anything that like really stuck with you that movie? From watching it as a little kid?
Mm-hmm. What I remember that it actually scared me. Like, it was a scary kids movie.
It was.
I remember it was scary. I remember, like, probably getting nightmares from it. I remember, like, the, like, pressure to not lie and, like, the nose getting longer. It was like, oh, everyone will know.
Really sticks with you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't forget that.
Mm-mm. And it did. It's like, as a kid,
Who wants their nose to grow longer?
This notion of nobody. Like, everyone will know if you're a liar.
Yes. Yes. So, very terrifying.
It was scary, yeah. It's like all the child. It's like Dumbo.
Oh, I can't watch Dumbo.
Dumbo's rough.
I can't watch it. It's too sad.
Lion King. I cry every time when Mufasa dies. Mm. It's sad. It's brutal.
Yeah.
I don't see that in like adult movies.
It's very sad.
Kind of raw carnage.
How are you going to kill Bambi? Big-eyed.
Bambi? Mom dying instantly?
Yeah, that's the same with Dumbo, the mom dying. Like, I can't deal. So Pinocchio is also considered one of the greatest animated films ever made.
I'm sure it is.
It has 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which I agree with almost all the ratings. And, like, IMDb, whatever it is. IMDb. So this movie came out in 1940. It was based on an 1883 Italian children's novel, which is actually way more brutal and dark and disturbing than the Disney film. Like, the Disney film lightened it up. But I'm not going to really talk about that book because I've never read it. But I did read a lot about it, and it is way darker. So Disney did the Disney thing to this book. So this was the second animated film Disney put out. Snow White was the first.
I didn't know that.
So it was Snow White and then Pinocchio. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Let me adjust myself. I'm in the creaky chair.
Creaky chair today.
So this film opens with Jiminy Cricket. Remember Jiminy Cricket?
Yes.
The little cricket?
Yes.
And he hops into old Geppetto's wood carving studio. So there's all these clocks and music boxes and toys. So Geppetto does all these like wood things.
Yeah, he's like carving.
Yeah. And then Jiminy Cricket notices a marionette, and this is Pinocchio. There's also Geppetto's pet cat Figaro.
Oh yeah, Figaro.
And goldfish Cleo.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so Geppetto is lonely.
Oh, Jiminy Cricket. Just remember that. Was in this, right? Yes.
Yes. Okay. You don't remember Jiminy Cricket?
I didn't at first that he was part of it. No,
he's a little cricket.
No, I remember
with,
now.
A hat.
No, I know
hat,
what he looks like. I didn't.
Kind of dapper.
Yes. He had a little cane.
Yeah. So Jiminy notices the marionette. This is Pinocchio. Geppetto also has, I said that. So Geppetto's super lonely, and that night wishes on a star that Pinocchio would be a real boy.
A star.
Yes. Yes.
How do I remember that? See, this
because
is Disney,
it's the iconic Disney song. That's the song from this movie, and it became the iconic Disney song. And part of it played before every Disney movie with, like, the castle.
Oh, that's why. Yep.
And the little star would go pew, pew. Yeah, so that all came from Pinocchio.
Wow.
So the good fairy, if she is really good, we'll have to decide.
I don't even remember the good fairy.
So when Geppetto wished, then the good fairy came.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
She was like glowy and blonde and blue dress.
They always are, aren't they?
They are. And then, the dark fairies or witches were always dark haired.
Dark haired. Wonder what that could mean.
Well, all of it.
No, it means all of it.
So the good fairy grants his wish. But only partially and with conditions.
Sounds like a loan shark to me.
So Pinocchio is brought to life, but he's still made of wood. And he can only become a real boy if he can prove himself brave, truthful, and unselfish. So brave, truthful, and unselfish. That's a lot. I mean, I think those are things maybe we can strive for and set intentions for, but...
That's like three things
that's
most
a lot.
People break in a day.
Yeah. To be brave, like, that's tough and truthful.
All the time, yeah.
Tough, unselfish, mm-hmm. tough. Sometimes
yeah, like,
I want to take a selfish.
Yeah, if your nose got big every time anyone who doesn't happen, we'd all like our noses would be across the
world. We'd be fucked. I'd have a treehouse, I'd have a swing. So, Pinocchio can move around on his own. He doesn't need strings, and he can talk, but still made of wood. He still has, like, the hinged joints. So, the fairy then lays a bunch of responsibility on Jiminy Cricket and designates Jiminy Cricket as Pinocchio's conscience.
Okay.
And tells Jiminy Cricket he needs to help guide him and teach him, like, about right and wrong and make sure he's on the path of straight and narrow.
Like a mentor, perhaps.
Yeah, so that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And the fairy leaves with the words, "Be a good boy and always let your conscience be your guide."
Oh,
so it's kind of double meaning.
Yeah.
Referring to Jiminy Cricket as his conscience, but also like you need to do
as
the right
person.
Thing.
As a person, yeah.
But here's the thing. The fairy's kind of setting Pinocchio up for failure at this point. I mean, he just awoke.
As counselors here, let's talk about this. Like,
he just
realistic expectations.
From being a fucking marionette.
Yeah.
And he's laid with this incredible pressure that if you want to be a real boy, you need to be brave, truthful, unselfish. Geppetto, this poor old lonely woodcarver, you know, sobbing every night out of loneliness, like, you don't want to let Geppetto down, do you? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fucked up because it's Geppetto's wish, mm-hmm. but all the responsibility is put on Pinocchio and then Jiminy Cricket.
Do you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of kids who are adopted and they have a lot of behavioral problems because they often have a lot of trauma in their past. And then, like, the new parents are like, why are they behaving this way? And they get very punishment focused.
Very negative.
Yeah, and then like,
unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, there will be a learning curve.
Yes, well, the good fairy.
I don't think this fairy is
didn't good. Allow a learning curve. So Pinocchio just awoke, very innocent, very impressionable, you know, and the good fairy expects him to be able to resist temptation. There's a whole song about temptation. Geppetto, very stoked Pinocchio's alive, but in shock. So the very next morning, Geppetto sends Pinocchio off to school. So right away, here's a test.
Mm.
Like, you've gone from marionette.
You've gone from a piece of wood.
To an woken, but not woke.
Yeah.
Piece of wood. So on the way, Pinocchio is spotted by this con artist Fox. Named Honest John.
Mm.
Good name.
Yeah.
So Honest John convinces him to seek fame and fortune by joining Stromboli's marionette show.
This is where it gets scary.
and become a star as a live puppet without strings. Is this coming back to you now?
Oh, yeah. No, full force. I'm, like, picturing the movie.
So, you remember the song, Hi, Diddle-Dee-Dee, an actor's life for me.
Oh, now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, they sing that. It's very catchy.
Yeah.
Jiminy tries to warn Pinocchio. It's like, remember what I said about temptation? No. That's him, pointing to Honest John.
Wow.
And Pinocchio says, oh, no, that's Honest John.
Because he's a naive little boy.
Yes, it's way too much
too
pressure
soon.
That fairy put on him.
He doesn't know any better yet.
Yeah. So Pinocchio is sold to Stromboli by Honest John. He performs and is wildly successful.
Because he's so good at being himself.
Well,
because
he's a puppet without strings. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's like
oh, yeah, didn't he sing a
magic.
Song about that too? And like,
yes. I've got no strings to hold me down, to make me fret or make me fret. Mm-hmm. I had strings, but now I'm free. There are
no strings on me.
Yeah, that song. So part of what I'm struggling with this initial like setup is the good... Geppetto's the one that made the wish. It wasn't Pinocchio.
He didn't say,
like,
I really want to be a
little
boy.
I
want to
be a little boy. It's Geppetto. But Geppetto isn't given these stipulations like, oh, if you want a real boy, you need to teach your real boy to be brave and truthful and selfish.
Be a good man.
No, Geppetto is just like out of the loop with this. All this pressure is put on a fucking cricket and a wooden just made into an alive marionette boy. Yeah. So Jiminy Cricket, you know, sees Pinocchio's success and, like, doubts himself and his guidance, thinks maybe this is wrong. Also, Jiminy Cricket's kind of a perv.
In
this
that.
Movie, well, here's a picture of him holding
and
onto
he
the butt of, like, one of the
cuckoo
clocks.
Doll.
Okay,
yeah.
Nobody can say that. Never mind.
Yeah, it's like a... Yeah.
Yeah, it's
the,
like
the chicken,
the butt of the cuckoo clock. And also doing the puppet show, there was a lot of like skirts flying up, and Jiminy was like, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening here?
Because we can't not put sex stuff in a Disney movie.
Yeah, so Jiminy, you know, kind of a perv, a little skirt chaser there. So Pinocchio has a show, it's a big success. He's like, okay, great, I'm gonna go home for the night, but then Stromboli locks him in a cage, a rusty cage. And if you're a Soundgarden fan, I hope rusty cage is going through your mind right now, as it is mine. Meanwhile, poor old lonely Geppetto is out wandering in the streets in the rain looking for Pinocchio. It's so,
so
sad.
Sad.
So
yeah,
sad.
I remember that scene too. It is sad.
So sad. The fairy appears at Stromboli's place because she gets summoned. And she's questioning Pinocchio about what happened. Like, why didn't you go to school? And he tells some lies. And each time he does, his nose grows longer. So remember that scene?
Whoop.
Where it starts growing and then it turns into like an actual tree,
yeah,
like branches
branch,
and flowers.
Yeah.
And there's like a bird's nest,
yes,
and
yeah,
then like
yeah,
a bird family. Like, it just keeps getting progressively worse. And so the fairy teaches him a lesson and says, a lie keeps growing and growing until it's as plain as the nose on your face. And the lies aren't totally lies. I mean, if we consider Pinocchio's developmental age.
Maybe five.
Maybe, yeah, maybe even younger. Just being awoke that, you know, earlier that morning.
I mean, he does.
From wood.
Yeah, he should just be like baby on the floor, but he's not.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's more exaggerations and trying to stay out of trouble than outright lies, I felt.
Yeah, it's the, like, white lies.
Like, he incorporated some of the experiences into the lies, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, monsters got me. Well, Honest John could be a monster.
Yeah, he turned into one.
That's right. But the fairy doesn't get on his developmental level. And so the fairy says, a boy who won't be good might just as well be made of wood.
What a C word.
So she helps him out of the cage, but says this is the last time she'll help him out.
Rude.
So then Jiminy and Pinocchio take off and they're headed home. Meanwhile, Honest John, the fox, the bad fox, meets a creepy coachman in a bar who offers him real money for stupid little boys. He wants the disobedient ones who play hooky from school.
Ooh.
So here this coachman is preying on the vulnerable, you know.
The needy.
The ones who aren't going to go to school, mm-hmm. who don't have supports in their life, you know, to keep track of them and make sure they stay on track. So the coach driver says he takes the boys to Pleasure Island.
Oh, yeah, gross. Isn't that, okay, yes, that, but I was also thinking about, isn't that Epstein's Island? Or was that?
Pedophile Island.
Was it Pedophile Island?
But same, maybe. Okay. Same thing, maybe. I mean, this is.
Nothing should be called Pleasure Island or Pedophile Island.
No. And the coach driver says he takes the boys to Pleasure Island. And, you know, they'll pay good money for the boys. So this is clearly child trafficking
yes.
in a Disney children's film.
As they do.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
So Honest John expresses some concern about the risk. He doesn't want to kill anyone.
Yeah, that was like the He's first. Not I that remember bad. That. Like, yeah, there was like some moral, like.
Like this leveling of yeah. badness here. It's like. Oh, I'll sell somebody to a puppet theater.
But I'm not gonna, like...
kill someone.
Yeah, it kind of...
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe I'll... Yeah, it's a different level.
Yeah, so Honest John is, like, put on a different level of badness, a different level of evil. Like, our last podcast.
What?
And the coachman is, like, higher level of mm-hmm. evil.
He'd probably be, like, at least... a 17 or a 20.
At least, yes. Yeah. And the coach driver man says, not to worry, they never come back as boys. So telling Honest John he's not going to get in trouble because there's no evidence.
Yeah. And, definitely a 20.
And that turn, at that point in the film, he turns into this super scary devil face and starts cackling and like his face takes over the whole screen. And if you were seeing that in the theater, I mean, that'd be like, what, 60 feet
terrifying
across, and it like turned all red. It was super scary. And then he said, we meet at the crossroads at midnight. Do you remember my other topic I did?
Oh, yeah. Because your
about
topic
the
lined
devil.
Up. Well, and I did, yeah.
At the crossroads and how you can make deals.
Well, and I talked about that on the same day about the like 27-year-old
yes.
death.
Yes, our topics totally linked up because I was talking about Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
And that was mm-hmm. one of the 27 Club. That was one of our synchronicity
that
moments.
That was for sure. Okay, yeah, so we'll meet at the crossroads.
At midnight.
Basically, so we're going to make a deal with the devil.
He's the devil.
Yeah.
So they're saying he's the devil.
Look at how much we've learned.
We've learned. So, I'm so smart. So, I can make such great conversation at a party.
Combinations.
If I was invited to a party to make combinations.
We make our own parties.
That's right. We make our own combinations. So, remember Jiminy and Pinocchio are on their way home. You know, they learn their lessons or whatever. But before Pinocchio can make it home, Honest John finds him. Because he's been offered cash.
Yeah.
A good money.
Tempted.
Real money this time. And he convinces him that he needs a vacation on Pleasure Island. And so he gives him a fake ticket because Pinocchio is innocent, doesn't understand.
Doesn't know.
He's like, well, you have a ticket already. It's just a playing card. And so he turns him over to the coachman to go to the happy land of carefree boys where every day is a holiday.
Well, and all of this is like made so Pinocchio looks like he's doing something wrong, but it's he's being manipulated, and
that's where I think it's kind of fucked up that the fairy put him in this unrealistic situation.
But and maybe that's like a replica of life, right? Like you're going to be manipulated. All these things. It's there are bad men out there. There are levels of evil out there.
I think Pinocchio is doing the best he can with what he has in that moment.
And a lot of people are, and they still get corrupted.
I feel for old Pinocchio. So they're on the coach, they're going to Pleasure Island, and then Pinocchio meets another boy named Lampwick. Remember Lampwick?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's like the older, like, bad boy, juvenile delinquent. Cool.
Yeah, the kid you met when you went into inpatient that one time.
Well, that was me. Yeah. I was the kid they met. I'm like, let me tell you, it's my fourth time.
And then
here.
They come out, and then here's I'm like, I was like, so how did that go? What was that like for you? And they're like, yeah, I actually learned a lot of really bad things in inpatient.
It's new ways how to self-harm. You're like, what the fuck did I send you there for?
Well, there's no other option.
There's no other option. No other option. I know.
Gosh, and why do you have to be there? Go home.
I'm like, here's what you need to do if you want more cigarettes.
You're like, oh, you didn't kill yourself? It's because you're cutting the wrong way. Oh, you didn't? Oh, your parents found
your
pills?
You did that wrong.
Let me tell you some places you can hide it.
Here's how you wear long sleeves in the summer and get away with it.
Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times I've heard that statement about, oh no, I've met some of the worst influences in inpatient.
No, they're like, come out, they're like, I made so many new friends.
I know. Like, oh, God. I know. They're like, I made the best friends in inpatient. I'm like,
and one hand you're like, great, you're socializing. On the other hand, you're like, what have you learned?
No, it's like you're socializing with all the kids who are like, it's not a place to socialize. It's just not.
No.
Sorry, this was a tangent.
That was a tangent. It needed to be said.
Child mental health specialist here. We feel
work with teens.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I love them, but boy, put them in a group. Things happen.
Yes, you got to stay and talk with those influences. Lampwick, which is an interesting name for a boy. So he's telling Pinocchio how great Pleasure Island is. No school. No cops.
What?
In the Disney movie, they're like, no cops. You can tear the joint apart and nobody says a word.
Okay.
So Jiminy's like trying to talk Pinocchio out of it, but it's useless. So at this point, I'm like, okay, Jiminy's sort of like the parent, you know.
Nagging.
Yeah, and as kids get teens, like their peer group, that's the voice you're going to listen to. Like parents become like in peanuts,
Well, and that's where like counselors become helpful if they're willing to get in there and you have a good
counselor.
You can
do that bridge.
Yeah, because if they trust you, they will, and they will listen to you.
You
if
just
got to
speak in their language.
Yeah, you got to be like, parents suck.
You'd be like, I know, school is so stupid.
This is really hard.
Which is the teacher you hate the most? Let's talk about it. And then you slip in like, okay, so how can we make you more, you know, successful?
I literally taught a teenager, I was like, you know, if your parents are nagging about you about doing chores, you know, if you use a certain communication skills, you can actually get them to do what you want. So if you do
flies with honey.
And they ended up doing their chores in order to manipulate their parents.
I've done a lot of that. So let's count down the days until you can move out of the house.
Oh, okay. I've done that too. Oh my gosh.
So given that you're fucking stuck in this prison
for the next 6 months,
what can we do to make this as smooth as possible for you?
And that works.
It works. They're like,
They're like, okay,
What if you just kind of went along with this one thing?
Yeah, like, what if you don't
just
pick
did
fights?
Your chores?
What if you, what if you just did your chores?
What if you just went with it? Not because you want to.
No, because you want out. Because
you just want them off your back.
But then with that, they improve communication with their parents. They reduce conflict. They get closer with their parents. And
they're out of their room.
Yeah. And sometimes
they're connecting, they're participating.
And to be fair, sometimes parents are dicks and then they just get to go and that's fine. And they've learned skills.
That's right.
Either way, it works.
That's right. God, we're good. Cheers.
Cheers. I learned from the best sitting right next to me.
I think My best tip, if you work with teens out there, is you have to act like you do not even care. Like, you are barely interested in what they're saying.
Absolutely.
Like, you're sort of bored, and you're sort of, like, on your phone, kind of, and, like, not even, like, okay, what, all right. Because if you care too much, they turn it off, and they don't. You're like, you're danger, all of a sudden.
You're
a
parent. You're an authority figure.
Yes, you have to be like, whatever, like, I'm, you know, you have to just not care. Like, it's not a big deal.
I had someone who would come in all the time on their cell phone, and I would, like, eventually I was like, I actually just pulled out my phone.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, we're doing this.
And I was like, oh, are you ready? And they were, like, sitting there, like, eager to go, and I'm like, oh, you good? Okay, yeah.
Oh, are we ready now?
I was like, okay, yep, okay. And then they were, like, confused. And then from then on, their phone was away because...
They realized.
Yeah. And it without ever it being their problem.
Yeah, no, you don't want to make it their problem.
You have to be artful.
Yeah.
You have to make it a problem for them.
Exactly. You got to sneak it in.
Teens are fun.
I love teens so much. So on the islands, the boys can do whatever they want. They can eat whatever they want. Cake, ice cream, pickles, whatever.
Pickles.
Be a glutton.
Ooh.
It's fine. There's no, like, eat your vegetables, be healthy. And it's all free. But is it?
No.
And I think that was one of the things that, like, that was my takeaway as a kid was, this is amazing, but there's consequences. So I think that, for me as a little Naomi, it was like, nothing's ever free.
I would have loved to have met a little name. No.
I was a wild
ragamuffin. I feel like I lived the, like, everything's free as a kid just because I don't know, like, I was able to just go and have fun. I wasn't as rebellious as you, though.
Well, there was consequences. And that's what I took away from this movie. Like, I was all in with Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Like, Pleasure Island, I was like, oh my God, this is the best. But, oh, no.
Like, I was totally the child, like, Pinocchio, you shouldn't do that.
Moderation.
Gonna get in trouble.
Is what I learned from Pinocchio.
I'm always the you're gonna get in trouble person.
Like, yeah, nothing's free.
I get that you want to do that, but...
Yeah, you were even allowed to fight in this. There was a roughhouse. So you could have a scrap. And there was Tobacco Row.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could smoke.
Talking about tobacco.
You could have cigars, chew, cigarettes, whatever. And then there was even a model home that they could trash. So you could, like, break shit and, like, graffiti. And, I mean, it's a dream. So Lampwick's like, being bad's a lot of fun, ain't it? And Pinocchio agreed. But then the doors were locked. And the coachman said, give a bad boy enough rope and he'll soon make a jackass of himself. So that was some foreshadowing.
I remember now. Yeah.
Foreshadowing. So Pinocchio's, like, playing pool, drinking beer, smoking cigars. He's forgotten all about poor old lonely Geppetto.
Crying.
Jiminy's, like, over it and
he's pissed at that point, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I've tried. It's enough. I throw my hands up at this point. But as he's on his way out, he accidentally stumbles on Pleasure Island's dirty little secret. He finds a warehouse full of donkeys. And there he sees the evil coachman
grab
one of the little donkeys who's wearing boys' clothes. And he hee-haws. And then the coachman just rips his clothes off him.
Yeah.
It's so violating.
Cha, you are no longer, you are an animal. This is how our topics relate.
Yes.
Yes.
Donkeys are being put in crates and they're labeled to, like...
Oh, donkeys. Okay, sorry.
To the salt mine or to the circus.
To work, to pull.
So this is child trafficking with a twist because they're being actually transformed into donkeys also. And so in one of the saddest moments in the film, the coachman discovers that sweet little... Donkey Alexander, remember that one?
Yep.
And Alexander can still talk. Mm. And the coachman, you know, is like trying to shove him in a crate. And Alexander says, I want to go home to my mama.
So sad.
The coachman throws Alexander back into this pile of donkeys and starts cracking the whip. And then, like, the scene is just these donkeys that apparently can talk. They're all huddled together, and then there's this big shadow of, like, the coachman with his whip. So what happens to them? Are they killed? I mean, they're clearly not
people, boys anymore.
They're not boys. They're not going to be sent off because they can still talk, because mm-hmm. they're kind of not fully transformed.
They're alluding to that, like, we have to take care of you.
I think that they're being killed. Mm-hmm. So Jiminy realizes this is going to be Pinocchio's fate, so he rushes back to rescue him. But Pinocchio's already started to change. He has the ears, mm-hmm. has a tail, he's starting to hee-haw. Lampwick has already been fully transformed. And that scene is really scary, and they don't show his transformation, but they show it in a shadow.
Yeah.
So
where his,
I noticed,
like, his legs
in this film,
kick out, and
that, like, they use the shadow to show these really scary images, but it almost makes it more scary in the shadow, because shadows are scary in itself.
Yeah, it's like
the darkness.
Yeah, and it's something tragic happening.
Something that's so bad, we can't let you see it.
Yeah, we can't even let you see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you have to just see this symbol of it, this image. Yeah.
Horror.
Yeah, it's bad.
Transformation.
So they get out, they make their escape, but they get to old Geppetto's house, and he isn't there. And Figaro, the cat, and Cleo the fish are also gone. Then a note from Geppetto arrives. The good fairy said she wasn't going to help anymore, but it seems like this note came from her.
I just don't understand why. Like, you literally...
Because she's a bitch.
Okay, fine. All right.
But this note seems to come from her, because it's like
a bitch.
From the sky and in her blue colors. And the note tells Pinocchio that Geppetto has been swallowed by a whale named Monstro. And then
this seems so random now, like, as an adult looking, like, what? He was just swallowed by a whale because he was looking for
him. He was
him.
Looking for Pinocchio, and it's raining, remember?
I know, I get that, but, like, that's a big stretch, like, raining to swallowed by a whale.
But this whale is scary. Look at that fucking whale.
I know, it's a scary-ass whale.
I don't know.
Yes,
I mean, but imagine, like, that's 60 feet wide when you're a child on the screen. Like, fuck that. So
I remember this part a lot.
Pinocchio and Jiminy go to save him, and then I was thinking, is that his first act of bravery?
He's in there on the tongue.
Is that one of the three?
Oh, yeah. Because
he's like, I'm going to go
and
save Geppetto. So Pinocchio finds Geppetto, and he's with Figaro and Cleo. They're about to starve.
You interrupted my topic and said, I'm glad my topic is going to be lighthearted. I don't see lighthearted in this, just so you know. But keep going.
You're right.
This is really dark.
Well, some people think it's the most fucked up children's film of all time.
And I would say debatable, because there's so many fucked up Disney movies. There's a lot of them.
Maybe that could be a theme we go into. So Geppetto, Figaro, and Cleo, they're about to starve to death in the belly of this giant whale. Remember, they're sitting on that, like, boat thing.
Yeah, on the,
they're like, trying to fish, but there's nothing.
And they're heard of the tonsil.
Yeah, because Monstro's been asleep.
Yeah, this whole time.
And they're like, we're not going to eat until Monstro wakes up. So Pinocchio gets in there, and Geppetto is shocked to see Pinocchio's ears, tail, and hear his donkey sounds. And then I was watching this really closely. This is an opportunity for Pinocchio to do the truthfulness and say what happened. And he was about to, but then Geppetto was just like, oh no, it's fine. So I was like, did he actually ever do the truthfulness in this film? I didn't see it. So Pinocchio experts out there, where was the truthfulness?
You didn't see it.
He had the intention of it, but Geppetto shut it down. So Pinocchio has this brilliant plan to start a fire and make Monstro sneeze them out. It's smart. It's a good idea.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
This works, he does, they do all get sneezed out, but in the tidal wave, while trying to save Geppetto, Pinocchio drowns and dies.
I don't remember that.
There he is, dead, face down in the water.
Jeez, I don't remember that at all.
He dies. He's clearly dead.
What? I don't remember this. I blocked it out because I didn't understand death. I didn't understand death as a child.
This was Disney's first death depicted in one of their films.
I don't even remember Pinocchio dying.
Yeah, he dies. So, I think this was Pinocchio's act of selflessness.
Yeah.
Because he died trying to save Geppetto. So when they're all back at home grieving, then the fairy.
Thanks, fairy.
The fairy snatch decides to.
Fairy snatch.
Give Pinocchio the gift of life as a real boy. Like, now it's like, okay, I guess you've earned it. Now that you're fucking dead. What is this movie? Now that you're dead, everybody's devastated.
You ruined everyone's life.
Geppetto is sobbing. Figaro and Cleo are sobbing. Jiminy's sobbing. What in the actual fuck is going on? This is a kid's movie. This is Disney. The happiest place on earth, by the way. Happiest place on earth.
Where children are brought back to life after killing them.
After death.
After they do the most selfless thing possible, they're murdered.
Yeah. So she decides to make him a real boy. So he becomes a real boy. Everybody's happy.
I hate her so much.
I hate her.
I hate her.
I hate her so much.
Leave me dead, bitch.
I just, like, I don't even want it now.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Who are you? Who are you to say anything?
I don't want your control of me.
No, like, I did that because I wanted to, and if you didn't feel like it was worthwhile to keep me alive prior to that point, then too bad.
Yeah, I fucking hate her. And then what about the other victims of Pleasure Island?
They don't matter. They're not a gone
nothing
fairy.
Nothing happens. They're all just, like, left to continue being trafficked or killed, and the villains, they're just, nobody punishes them. Nothing happens.
No ending other than this one resolution that means nothing.
Nothing happens. Coachmen are still out there. Honest John still out there being honest.
Sort of, and
that's it.
The bribes. Wow.
Pinocchio.
The
children's film. Celebrated children's film.
Horrifying. I did not remember that he died. I mean, obviously they had to bring him back to life. That's probably just a Disney thing.
But,
he
was fully dead. Like, it was another day.
Well, but that's what I'm thinking. Like, because you mentioned the book, right? So, like,
yeah.
I bet you he didn't come back to life in the book.
I read that the book was really bad and that Pinocchio actually murdered Jiminy Cricket in the book. And that Pinocchio was, like, an unlikable, like, asshole. So they made him more innocent and, like, naive. And in the book, he was more, like, just being a brat.
Mm-hmm.
And he murdered Jiminy Cricket, so.
It makes me
I kind of want to read the book.
I know, yeah. Like, all those childhood films are, they're really dark. The only ones that I can think of that, I mean, even, like, okay, so even, like, The Little Mermaid. Because that was one that I was like, I can't think of anything horrible about it. But it talks about, like, her going and doing her own thing. And then she literally gets cut off by her entire family. Like, it's total abandonment by her family. Like, everything has this big
extreme. I didn't like how she left her whole world for a man.
Yeah, right? And then
affect me.
Does everything for him to be with him.
Yeah, giving up everything.
Yeah.
Her soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally. Ursula, like, got her soul, her voice, so.
And then she only gets.
What kind of fucking message is that for our kids?
Yeah, like, you have to meet the needs of a man, or else you're worth nothing.
You're worth nothing.
Yeah, you may as well go back to the bottom of the ocean.
But at the end, did she realize? I don't remember. I haven't seen that for a long time.
It's been a long time.
Did she figure it out?
I don't remember. remember the ending of that. I know. We have to watch some Disney movies.
I got a Disney Plus subscription for 1 month so I could watch Pinocchio for this podcast.
Okay, so my favorite...
What should I watch during my month of Disney
My
Plus?
Favorite Disney movie was... Oh my gosh, my inner field. Oh gosh, what was it? The Fox and the Hound. I love that movie growing up.
Is that, I think that's another sad one, though.
It is another sad one. It's, there's a lot of, like, death and struggle, and they become enemies. But they do end up becoming friends again. But it's, like, after, again, after they sacrifice, like, their lives for each other. And there's a lot of loss.
I love the Peter Pan with the foxes.
Yeah, that's cute.
I haven't seen it, though, for a long time, but I really liked that when I was little. That was like, my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other Disney ones that stood out to me. I mean, Lion King.
Well, not Peter Pan. It's not Peter Pan. Robin Hood.
It was Robin Hood. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a good one.
Not the Peter Pan.
With the bear.
But I did like the Peter Pan. With the Lost Boys and the Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that just wasn't what I was talking about.
No. Yeah, I liked Beauty and the Beast. Like, but that's, again, like, I mean, that's a message of...
Be our guest. Something.
The rest.
Meet our test.
Be the best.
Fuck the rest. I don't think that's how it goes.
Until next time.
Wish upon a star.
Maybe it'll become a real boy.